Well, good morning. We're continuing part three of our series, Principles from the Proverbs on the Family, dealing with the book of Proverbs from a topical standpoint. Now, last time you remember, we emphasized the role of the husband. What is to be the role of the man in the home? And we're exclusively dealing with this from the book of Proverbs. Obviously, if we were to take a survey of the whole Bible, there would be much more that we could say about the role of the man in the home. And now, indeed, the role of the woman in the home. But remember, our focus is on what does the book of Proverbs, the wisdom book of the Bible, what does that teach us about family relationships? And today we'll be dealing with the role of the wife and how the book of Proverbs views the wife. Now, I go into this with a little bit of trepidation, understand, because obviously I am not a wife. I'm a man. And I'm glad we've got these scriptures from the book of Proverbs to kind of guide us in our way and to kind of give us an outline here. So we're going to follow that very closely. I'm going to try not to give a lot of my own opinion, but we will try to find some time to give some practical application. How is this going to apply well in our own family atmospheres? Secondly, I realize that today we live in a society that is a two-income society. Husbands not only work, but wives sometimes have to work in order to pay the bills. And that is not ideal, but I understand that is the way society is today. It's just sometimes necessary. So if you are a woman working out of the home, don't worry about it. This is not taking a shot at you. But these scriptures that we're going to be talking about have to do, and they can be interpreted as the wife working from the home, so we're going to be looking at it kind of from that aspect. Well, having said that, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Now, that'll be the first place we'll stop. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the role of the woman in the context of both marriage and society. And like I said, today we're going to be studying the characteristics of a good wife. And we'll find these in the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to start right into it. And the first characteristic we'll look at is that a good wife is edifying and constructive in both attitude and action. Let me say that again. A good wife is edifying and constructive in both attitude and action. Let's look at Proverbs 14 and verse 1. It says this: "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." In other words, a wise woman will come to understand her God-given role of edification within the home. The scriptures say that she's a builder. Now, I'm going to give you some sub-points that are probably not on your actual outline, if you've printed one up from the internet here. But we're going to give you some sub-points under the main points. The main point being a wife is edifying and constructive in both attitude and action. If you want to write this in, write in a point A. And point A is going to be this: a good wife builds up and encourages her husband and children. A good wife builds up and encourages her husband and children. Now, let me say something here that I'm not sure... I am sure that many wives in this room, in this group that we're gathering together with, would agree with. And it's this: men often tend to be self-focused. Men tend to be that way. They're self-focused. Because men are that way. They have sort of an ego and a self-image that can, from time to time, be bruised. You know, men go off into the working world and sometimes they get beat up. They get bruised just a little bit, possibly at work or whatever. And so most men will thrive on the attention and the edification and the encouragement of their wives. And this is something that men will thrive upon. Now, for instance, when a man sees a young lady, maybe a young lady that he thinks he's interested in dating, that young man tends to do things to try to prove himself to her. Now, there's nothing he likes better than to hear that girl's or that woman's words of approval. Such words as I heard when I was dating my wife, Rachel. Words like, oh, you're so strong, or you know, you're so athletic, or you're so handsome. And I do think she would have been lying then, but those are the kind of things she said. And in a sense, that was edification. That built me up. Now, this takes place in a dating relationship, and then maybe somehow over the years of marriage, it kind of falls by the wayside. Well, the Bible says a wise woman builds her house. Now, that doesn't mean she's going to take a hammer and nails and add a second addition to the home. It just means that that she edifies her husband and her children, building them up emotionally. So when a man walks through the door and he's been torn down at work, the love and concern of the wife who views him as, now listen to this, she views him as the hero of the home. The hero of the home. Those words of comfort and concern are salve to his soul. Because he wasn't viewed as the hero in the workplace. But when he walks through the door, he is viewed by his wife as the hero of the home. And it builds him up. You know, that'll do a lot towards the building of a strong marriage. Well, look at the end of verse 1. You'll see this. But the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Speaking of the home. That leads us to point B. And that's this. A foolish wife engages in attitudes and actions that slowly tear down the home. I'll say it again. A foolish wife engages in attitudes and actions that slowly tear down the home. Now, some examples of that would include having a critical spirit, continual complaining, suggestions that their husband is inadequate in some way, and maybe even being discontented about things. It's just a list of a few things. There could be more. But that is foolishness. When a woman takes on that gripey, complaining, nasty attitude towards her husband, she is slowly undermining the security and the stability and certainly the happiness of that home. A wise woman builds and a foolish woman tears down. Simple principles to follow, yet sometimes difficult to practice. Well, the second characteristic of a good wife is this. She has a gracious spirit. She has a gracious spirit. So, what is that? Well, Proverbs 11:16 tells us this. A gracious woman retains honor, but a ruthless man retain riches. So, one thing that tells us is this. Point A. She gains honor and respect by maintaining a gracious spirit. She gains honor and respect by maintaining a gracious spirit. In other words, a gracious woman retains honor. Now, what I'm talking about is almost really becoming foreign today. Because in our society, really, a loudmouthed, obnoxious woman gets attention. And the Bible says for a woman to retain honor, she's to have a gracious spirit. Now I think of ladies I've known in my past. My grandmother on my mother's side was a woman with a sweet and gracious spirit, as far as I remember. She died when I was young, but that's what I remember about her. She was somebody who was just honored by the people who knew her. And my mother has some of that in her life, too. My mother would never push herself to the forefront. She's not loud or boisterous or bossy, but she's a gracious lady. And you know, there are ladies who've been part of this church, this congregation, who, as they've grown older graciously, and they retain honor. And no, I'm not going to name any names here, But they're people who are honored because there's a certain sweetness about them. There's a certain dignity about them. And so you might ask, well, what is a gracious spirit? Well, it involves kindness, politeness. It might involve a servant's heart, a desire to be perfect in her role for the sake of others. I mean, all these things are part of what's being gracious. Now look at point B in our outline here of this point. Gracious women are strong women. They're strong women. She's a strong woman who maintains an attitude of meekness. She's strong, and yet she maintains an attitude of meekness. Now, I've known some wonderful ladies like that, and I'm sure you have too. They're strong. They're not weak. They're not just blown over by the slightest little thing that comes along. They're not light as a feather as far as emotions are concerned. They're strong women. But at the same time, they maintain a gracious spirit. Well, let's look at the third characteristic of what makes a good wife. And here it is. She's trustworthy. A good wife is trustworthy. Now, what does the Bible say? Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. We'll be in there, actually. This talks about the virtuous woman. We'll read it first. But it says this: the heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So she's trustworthy and particularly trusted by her husband. Now, the virtuous woman that we're talking about here in Proverbs chapter 31, and subsequent verses that we're going to be talking about here are going to be found in Proverbs 31. So you can keep your place there in Proverbs 31. We'll just go to various verses here. But all these passages, all these verses dealing with the virtuous woman, they're found in Proverbs 31. In these verses, the virtuous woman gains the absolute confidence of her husband. The absolute confidence of her husband. Her heart, his heart, safely trusts in her because she never disappoints and she never betrays. Now, let me just pause there for a moment, because one of the most significant commodities in any relationship, let alone a marriage relationship, is the commodity of trust. It is absolutely vital. When trust has been betrayed, even in a small way, it can lead to betrayal in a larger way. And when trust is betrayed in a larger way, then all of a sudden a marriage can really come onto shaky ground. So ladies, wives, be trustworthy in your marriage. Now, how is this particular virtuous woman? How is she trustworthy? Well, let's look at point A in our outline. Verse 11 particularly points out that she's trustworthy in financial matters. Because the wife is trustworthy with money, verse 11 says, the husband safely trusts in her, and he has no lack of gain. Now, the King James, I think, words it a little differently, says he has no need of spoil. In other words, the wife's frugality will allow the family to live on his regular income, apart from any type of aid or any type of windfall. So the idea is this: the husband trusts the wife. She is maintaining the home financially in a frugal fashion, and he has no need of depending on anything else, like winning the lottery or something like that, to pay the bills. The husband doesn't have to have a whole bunch of extra money coming in because she's spending it all. Why? Because she's trustworthy. She's trustworthy financially. How utterly important that is. And how many men can I think of now? How many men find themselves crippled and working maybe a second or even a third job to pay for luxury items that were once desirable and later become a curse? So the virtuous woman here, the woman is frugal. The heart of her husband trusts in her that she'll handle her end of the finances aptly, and in such a way that it won't bring the family into financial stress. So the virtuous woman's role in life, according to verse 12, is to do her husband good all the days of his life. Now that means, point B, that she will always have his best interests at heart. She's not constantly thinking about herself. She's not demanding what she wants. She's thinking about him. She's thinking about his welfare. And how comforting is that? How comforting is that to a husband to be able to trust his wife in financial matters? Not let alone other things. Well, the fourth characteristic of a good wife is this. She is supportive of her husband's goals and dreams. She's supportive of her husband's goals and dreams. And I find this actually in verse 23. If you want to look over there in verse 23 of Proverbs 31, it says there, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So in other words, her husband is in a position of great authority. He's one who people look to. He has influence. And would he have that influence without the support of his wife? Maybe not. She supports her husband's dreams and goals. And I believe firmly, firmly, that a woman can either make or break her husband's success. And that successful men, generally speaking, successful men have supportive wives. I'm convinced of that. Now, let me illustrate that from my own life. I mean, it would be absolutely impossible for me to do what I'm doing, all that it takes, really, to come halfway around the world to Sydney, Australia, as a missionary, and become an elder of a church like this, if my wife, Rachel, were not wholeheartedly 100% supportive of my efforts, sharing my dreams and my goals with me. Well, it helps as well that she had already felt God's calling in her life to missions even before I met her. But I think of the number of missionaries, I think of the number of pastors that I've met throughout my life whose wives did not share those goals. In fact, they dragged their feet, they complained, they rebelled until the husband just gave up on those dreams and was simply driven out of ministry. So let's look at point A. A man will generally rise as high as his wife permits or promotes. I'll say that again. A man will generally rise as high as his wife permits and promotes. Now, many men have found success elusive because of wives who hold them back by encumbering them with secondary concerns. And how vital that we hear this. Now, men, it does not mean that you're married to your job, that you become a workaholic, that you neglect your home and your family. I'm not talking about that. But it amazes me today how many women will hold their husbands back because of their own desires, holding them back and encumbering them in certain things such that they're not able to succeed because of all these secondary concerns. Now, I speak probably most authoritatively from my position as an elder, as a pastor. Think about this. Pastors' wives have to be willing to share their husband with lots of other people. They need to be willing to share their personal time with others who might have a crisis or a need. The pastor spends a lot of time on lessons and sermons and planning meetings and counseling and many other things. And a wise pastor balances those things out. And I strive to do so in my own life and in my own family's life. But my wife, Rachel, has allowed me to do my job as a pastor in such a capacity as I'm able to meet the obligations I have toward this congregation. And she doesn't balk at that. Now, how many men have I known who've had wives who've held them back in ministry, especially in ministry things? Because after all, their full attention can't always be given on the home. It can't always be given to the wife. The same is true, I suppose, oftentimes in any profession in the world that a man gets involved in. And so, ladies, it's so vitally important here. Back your husband in his work. take interest in what he does. Well, let's look at point B. A man's reputation among his peers is either augmented or diminished by the actions and attitudes of his wife. A man's reputation among his peers is either augmented or diminished by the actions and attitudes of his wife. Now, this is so true. And you wives, I know that you like to sometimes get together and chat about things amongst yourselves. My wife, Rachel, she loves to do that too. I have nothing against it, and then I don't even want to know what she talks about in her little groups. But wives, be careful. Be careful when you begin to talk about your husbands, that you don't tear them down to others, but that you build up his reputation among his peers. Remember that you will either promote or diminish the reputation of your husband among his peers by your attitudes and by your actions. Let me say, by your speech. You have everything to do with his success. Now, listen to this. If he is successful, it is in large part due to the fact that you promoted his success by helping him to develop in his career and to meet his career goals, of course, in the context of caring for the family, not neglecting the home, but you allowed him the freedom to do that. Well, let's look at the fifth characteristic of a good wife. It's this. Now, I can't fit the whole outline on one slide, so I've decided to start over at point number five. But the fifth characteristic of a good wife is this. She is careful for the needs of her family. She is careful for the needs of her family. Now, let's look at verse 15 of Proverbs 31. It says there, "She also rises while it is yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants." If you notice here, sleep needs are secondary to the needs of her family. Now why? Because she's careful to meet her family's needs. A virtuous woman gets up early if she has to. And look what she's doing. She's preparing food, not only for her household, but in the case of verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 31, she's preparing food for her servants. She's making sure that all the details are taken care of before anyone else ever rises from sleep. Subpoint here, she takes minimal concern for her personal comfort, preferring to meet the needs of others. Now, can you think of people like this? I sure can. I think of my wife. I think of Rachel here. You know, she's the type of person that if you came as a guest, even unexpectedly or uninvited, and I have, in fact, invited many people to our home without her knowing beforehand, and they'll walk through that front door, and she'll do everything she can to make sure that person feels at home, even if it means the sacrifice of her own personal comfort. That's the kind of lady she is. A good wife takes minimal concern for her own personal comfort. She tries to meet the needs of others. Let's look at point B. Proverbs 31, chapter 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, here it is. Here it is now. Point B, she makes adequate plans for every eventuality. She makes adequate plans for every eventuality. Now, in the case of Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 21, she doesn't fear the cold weather. She doesn't fear for it because clothing needs have been met for her family. She's thinking ahead. She's thinking ahead of things, of how the house will run. She doesn't operate the home on the spur of the moment. She looks and she makes plans for every eventuality in that home. Well, let's look at the sixth characteristic of a good wife. And that comes from Proverbs 31 and verse 32. And it says there, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And so another characteristic of a good wife is that she is, and you women will like this one, I think, she is classy and stylish. She's classy and stylish. Now, what that means is this. In all her preparations for the home, she never loses her femininity or even the cutting edge of her style and her grace and her classy appearance. So wives, ladies, try to look nice. Most of all, try to look nice for your husband. Because if you do, it will do at least two things for you. It'll do at least two things for your marriage. First of all, like we talked about before, it will promote your husband's reputation among his peers. You know, people will say, boy, that guy's got a classy wife. He sure takes care of her. And it builds up his reputation among his peers. You know, have an appearance your husband will be proud of. But the second thing it'll do, it will maintain his attraction to you. Because you know what they say, what you win them with is what you'll keep them with. Now, make it easy for him to be always enraptured with your love. Now, I know some of you may say this. I know, I can't afford the most expensive clothes. And I know you can't. Not many of us can. Now, my wife Rachel, she goes off to Salvo's every once in a while. And with probably $20, she can buy some of the nicest things. And in my opinion, she always looks classy. And of course, everything you wear should be within standards of modesty. But now listen, we're not talking about expensive laser treatments, plastic surgery, and things like that. Although, as Bob Jones Sr. was famous for saying, if the barn needs painted, paint it. But the virtuous woman here made every effort to appear stylish, to appear feminine, to have a classiness about her. You know, fine linen and purple. Fine linen and purple, that's what stylish people wore. Those were things that were worn by people who were a little bit on the cutting edge. They were people who had a little bit of a sense of fashion. And that is a good thing, because it is all in doing for your husband and for your home. And how utterly vital that is. In the midst of all of life's work, in the midst of all of your busyness, that you always present yourself as every bit a lady. Now, all I'm saying is this. Present the best side of you that you can. It's right, and it's good, and it's healthy. The seventh characteristic of a good wife is this. She's hardworking. She's hardworking. Let's take a look at Proverbs 31, and we'll look at verses 16 through 19 now. Again, talking about the virtuous woman. She considers a field and buys it. And notice this. She is involved in a bit of commercial trade here, isn't she? She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. And of course, the distaff and the spindle have to do with the domestic practice of spinning yarn for weaving. So what does this mean? It means she's hardworking. Let's look at point A. She's hardworking. A good wife is wise in relation to business dealings. She's wise in relation to business dealings. She's adept at making shrewd bargains because she researches the matter. Now, notice what it says in verse 16. Again, she considers a field. So a good woman, a good wife, is to be smart. She's to be educated. She's to educate herself in any kind of commerce that relates to providing for her home. In this verse, particular verse, the virtuous woman is enacting a business deal by buying a particular piece of land. And she recognizes the value of that land. Why? Because she's considered it. That means she has a pretty good knowledge of what that land is worth. Now listen, ladies. To be in charge of the financial aspect of a home, well, that is a huge aspect to be in charge of. Now, for example, in most homes, most of the expendable income, now that is the income that is not going to the home and the cars and the bills and things like that, the income that's used for spending, most of it goes toward the needs of the home. And much of that money goes through the wife's hands. And she has to be careful in how she handles that money. It all deals, again, with being wise and being shrewd. So she's hardworking. She's wise in her business dealings. Now, I know of a lady. She's in the U.S. She's actually Rachel's aunt. And this woman, she's been a tremendous example of this. She was one of these people who was really involved in clipping coupons there in the U.S. I mean, she could have been on TV for this stuff, really. Because there were times when she could take these coupons that she saved, and she would figure out where the stores had double coupons and triple coupons, and where, you know, basically they would be selling the store if you gave them a coupon. And she would figure that out, and she would go to that store, and for like $3... she would come out and she'd come out with two trolleys full of groceries. I mean, really? I'd say, how in the world? And I thought she was shoplifting or something. No, not really. But she would fill her garage full of this stuff, more than her family could use. And she'd often invite people to come over and get what they needed from her. And Rachel and I, whenever we're in the States, she invites us to come over and we take part in that. I've never seen so much organization. But you know, she saved a lot of money that way. And that's wise, and that's shrewd. And you may not be able to do that here. You may have to do different things, but ladies, you can be shrewd in your own purchases. Well, let's look at point B. She properly evaluates the fruit of her efforts. She properly evaluates the fruit of her efforts. Verse 18 of Proverbs 31 says this: she perceives that her merchandise is good. Her work produces items of quality. In this case, it seems like in addition to being taking care of the home, she has some sort of industry going that she's working within her home. But she has understood the value of her efforts. Now, look at these words again. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Now, ladies, let me say this. Whether you work out of the home or whether you don't have an outside job, you work within the home, this is true. There is inherent and incalculable value in your role. There is inherent and incalculable value in your role in the home. Don't let anyone minimize what you do as a wife and a mother. In order to be a wife, think about this. In order to be a wife and a mother, you have to be all kinds of things. You have to wear all kinds of hats. Oftentimes, you have to be a chef. You have to be a nutritionist to keep your family healthy. Now, after all, you know, you don't want your husband to die early, well, unless he has adequate insurance, right? But you have to be, in one sense, a nurse, because the kids get scrapes and cuts. They get sick. And it's amazing how, you know, mom never gets sick, but everyone else gets sick. Sometimes you have to be an accountant to manage money. Sometimes you have to be a purchasing agent. All of those things are involved. So listen, ladies. Never, ever minimize what you do. Your merchandise is good. Well, the next point is found in the second half of verse 18, which says this: her lamp does not go out by night. So that tells us, point C, she works long hours. Now, any wife and mother knows what I'm talking about here, right? You know how many hours you work. And again, this woman, she's not thinking about her own comfort. She's not thinking of her own family. She sometimes works long... she is thinking about her own family. She sometimes works long hours to provide and to care for them and to fulfill their needs. She's not thinking of herself. She's thinking of her family. Well, let's look at point D. Let's see. Point D. She acquires the skills necessary to succeed in her role. Verse 19 tells us this. Tells us she knows how to handle the distaff and the spindle. Again, those are instruments that are used in the spinning of yarn, which would later be used in the weaving of fabric. So she understood how to use them. She acquired the skills necessary to succeed in her role. Well, let's look at the eighth characteristic of a good wife. And that's this. Proverbs 31 and verse 13. Verse 13 says this. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. And then there's verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. So the next characteristic of a good wife is this. Her work stems from a willing heart. It is done willingly. Without begrudging it, she does it willingly, and it is valuable, and it is profitable. All right, last one. The ninth characteristic of a good wife. And that's this. She's kind. She is kind. Now let's look at what Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 20 has to say about this. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And then in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So from that, we look at point A. A characteristic of a good wife is that she is kind to others in need and seeks to meet their needs if possible. She's kind to others in need and seeks to meet their needs if possible. And according to that verse, right, she takes the initiative in reaching out to them. Let's look at point B. Last point. Her speech is regulated by the law of kindness. Now, it simply means that the law of her lips is kind speech. And nothing crosses her lips unless it has been first approved by that law. The law of kindness. She's kind. And so there they are. The characteristics of a good wife taken directly from the book of Proverbs. Now remember, in listing these principles, my intention is not to make you feel bad or to make you feel like you're lacking, as maybe some have already told me they feel. But these are principles that we can read and we can understand and we can say, look, here are some ways that I can improve things. Here are some ways that I can improve my marriage and improve my family. And I pray that this study has been helpful in that regard. May it challenge us all to look deeper into what all the Word of God has to say to find help and guidance in strengthening our families. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. It is a delight to see these practical principles written for our benefit. And they are such a help. Such a help to us as we seek to please you in our family relationships. Help us to model our homes after the example of the Bible, after the example of these verses that we've studied even tonight. And may you bless us as we do so. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.